Good afternoon. The July 9th regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We will pause for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. Thank you. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner. Should they choose to do so, the petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on these items, on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a speaker card and give to staff. If you are participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use this feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item. If you want to speak on a petition, once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use the raise your hand feature or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. And I do want to acknowledge that we have a new board member. Amanda Wilson has joined us, and our former board member, Mr. Wayne Noah, has taken a position as a commissioner, was voted in as a commissioner, and he's resigned. So we're glad to have him here for a final meeting.
Hey, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you. What a cool, sure, we can go ahead and do that. But he still can't leave until the end of the meeting. Okay. All right. Shall we go down then?
Yeah.
Yes. But read it out or?
Let's go out and go down. And...
Okay.
You want to say a few words?
Yes.
Thank you. Come on up here with us. This is a resolution of appreciation for Anthony Wayne Noah. Whereas Mr. Anthony Wayne Noah was appointed to the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission by the Chatham County Commission on September 7th, 2018, and whereas prior to his service on the MPC, Mr. Noah served on the Chatham County Board of Zoning Appeals for several years and served two terms as chairman. And whereas during his tenure as a member of the MPC, Mr. Noah served as secretary, reflecting the trust and confidence of his colleagues. And whereas during his 6 years of service, Mr. Noah on the MPC on behalf of the citizens of Chatham County provoked thoughtful discourse, and provided excellent recommendations, allowing the community to achieve the highest standards of development and growth. And whereas Mr. Noah has faithfully served the board and the citizens of Savannah, and whereas Mr. Noah made the decision to further his public service by becoming a Chatham County Commissioner, now therefore be it resolved that the MPC does hereby express its grateful appreciation to Anthony Wayne Noah for his dedication, professionalism, and service to this board and the citizens of City of Savannah and Chatham County. And be it further resolved that the commission members extend to Mr. Noah their thanks for a job well done and best wishes for the future. The commission looks forward to your continued support of the MPC and its efforts for smart growth and development. Unanimously adopted this ninth day of July 2024 by the Metropolitan Planning Commission. Thank you.
Yeah, here, I'll hold this.
Oh, you get in the middle there.
Okay. I don't know where that came. Thank you for your recognition and show of appreciation. As it said, I was appointed to the Board of Appeals in 2007 and then the Planning Commission Board in 2018. And I want to thank you all for your patience with all of my questions. Many I knew the answer before I asked, but I was doing that for the audience and for the public in general. I also serve on the Safe Shelter Board of Directors, and at Christmas, the CEO gave out little plastic trophies. And my trophy was for asking the most questions during a board meeting. So it's not just here. It was everywhere. But I want to make sure we had all the facts so that we could make the right decision for everyone involved, the petitioner, the neighbors, and the public in general as well. Ms. Wilson, Amanda Wilson, you have a lot to do to fill my shoes. You have to ask lots of questions. You have to be here first for the pre-meeting, and you have to make sure that they have cheesecake at every pre-meeting. Many think that I have lost my mind in January deciding running for Chatham County Commission, but I just feel that I can do a good job, and I will be supporting you every step of the way, because I know how important the Metropolitan Planning Commission is. So I covet your thoughts and prayers as I take on this new role in January as commissioner for the county. My desire is to stay focused on what is best for this community as a whole. Again, thank you for the opportunity to serve with you, and I will miss seeing you all, but you do have my phone number if you need me. Thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Leaving? All right. So as far as our actual meeting goes, the first order of business is approval of the agenda.
Cole's motion to approve the agenda.
Second?
Why would he second?
All right. All in favor, voice vote, please.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We have no notices, proclamations, or acknowledgments, or we did, and it just went out the door. So items requested to be removed from the final agenda. The first one is a comprehensive plan future land use map amendment for 2514 Whitaker Street. Is there anyone here who was here to speak on that item? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to remove item one from the final agenda.
Ross, second.
All in favor, voice vote.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The second item to be removed from the agenda is the map amendment request to rezone from TN2 to TC1, 2514 Whitaker Street.
Let's say agenda item. Cole's motion to remove item number two from the final agenda.
Ross, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. There are several items on the consent agenda. I'm going to read through all of them, and if we can do a vote at the end. The first is major subdivision Oakwood at New Hampstead Phase 2A, 3401 Highgate Boulevard. Is there anyone here who wants to speak on that? All right. The second one is major subdivision Edgewater Phase 1C at New Hampstead, Amethyst Drive. Anybody here for that one? Third is major subdivision Brookline Phase 4, 109 Fenway Street. Anyone here to speak on that? Fourth is major subdivision Track N Phase 3, the Highlands at Godley Station, Highlands Boulevard. Is there anyone here to speak on that item? And the next one is major subdivision Track N Phase 4, the Highlands at Godley Station, Highland Boulevard. Anyone here for that one? All right. And the last one is GDP approval with variance 1201 Abercorn Street. Is there anyone here to speak on that one? All right. I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve consent agenda items.
Ross second.
3 through 8.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
We need to
vote. Okay. All right. Regular business. We have no old business. And the first item of regular business is comprehensive plan, future land use map amendment, 29 East 67th Street, 24-003235-CA. Take it away.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services and Current Planning here at the MPC. The first petition today is a request to amend the future land use map at 29 East 67th Street. This is requested in association with a proposal to expand an existing multifamily development present on the site. Presently in Plan 2040, the site is indicated as residential suburban single family for its future land use designation, and the petitioner is requesting that this be amended to reflect residential general classification. To orient everyone to our location, you can see the subject parcel outlined in red, and this is near the intersection of Abercorn and Duran. Duran is just a little bit to the south there. This is directly adjacent to the JEA. In looking at the future land use map and the zoning map, the future land use map currently indicates a broad swath of this area as residential suburban single family, which is a low density residential designation, even though there are this parcel and actually several others that have existing multifamily structures that are non-conforming with regard to both the future land use designation and the zoning on the parcels. You can also see from the zoning map that the current zoning on this parcel and those, many of those surroundings are SF10, and it adjoins the JEA, which is OINE, or Office and Institutional Expanded. Directly across the street, the RSF6 represents Residential Single Family 6. So this is within the urban transitional character area, as designated by Plan 2040. The request is not actually to change the character area. This will remain within the urban transitional area, but rather this is a change from the land use category, which is residential suburban single family. Plan 2040 describes this as identified by the comp plan for single family detached residential dwellings at a density not to exceed 5 gross dwelling units per acre. It permits certain non-residential uses that are compatible. This is a request to change this from that designation to residential general, which is permissive of a wide range of residential uses, including multifamily dwellings, attached small lot single family dwellings, and mixed use with upper story residential at densities greater than 10 units per acre. Again, emphasis here is just on the permission to establish dwellings that are at higher density than what is currently permitted. No mixing of uses at this particular site. We can see from this photo, there are presently multifamily structures that are existing on the parcel. And with that, MPC staff does find that this is consistent with the present development character within this area. And staff does recommend approval of the request to amend the future land use map. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is the applicant here?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you come forward, please?
Josh Allen here today on behalf of Abercorn Stay. I know that there are two related petitions here. So this is the future land use amendment map. The second one is the rezoning. I'm happy to answer questions and give the presentation on both. I think it's probably better if I reserve it for the rezoning application, but needless to say that we are in support of staff's recommendation to amend the future land use map. This site, along with even the site adjacent to it and many other properties in the vicinity, are in fact not in line with the comprehensive plan. They were purpose-built multifamily structures. They have all been there since the 50s. We're trying to get the new maps to adhere to the pattern of development that has been in existence here. And this is the first step to that process. It does not change the zoning. It does not change the density. It's simply to amend the future land use map. And so as Mr. Morrow mentioned, staff is recommending approval, and we would respectfully request that you approve of the same. But I'll have more to add on the second petition. So thank you all.
Right, thank you. I do have three folks who have signed up to speak. Mr. Burke Cushman, would you like to speak now or wait until the – well, would you like to speak now? All right. Mr. Connery, Joseph. All right, and Juan Ayala. Sorry. Would you like to speak now? Okay. All right. Does anybody have any questions for staff or for the applicant? I'm sorry. This is for the board now. We'll give you a chance when, if you haven't filled out a speaker card, fill one out for the next item. Yes, it does have 9 and 10. All right. No questions for staff or the applicant. I'll entertain a motion.
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation for approval.
Why would he second?
All right, and I have a motion to approve and a second. Ms. Amick, how do you vote? Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
Mr. Y. Woody?
Yes.
All right, I too will vote yes. Motion carries. All right, the second item. The next item on our agenda is for major map amendment to request rezone from RSF 10 to RMF 230. 29 East 67th Street.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the board. So this is the second in these associated petitions, the first to amend the future land use map and the second for the specific zoning request. RSF is a residential single family zoning district that requires 10,000 square feet of land area to establish a single dwelling unit. And the request is to rezone this to residential multifamily 2 with a maximum density of 30 dwelling units per acre. We can see this is the zoning map that you saw in the previous petition. Again, even though, say, even right next to this particular parcel, there is another multifamily structure. During the last comprehensive plan and zoning ordinance adoption, there was a map adoption that kind of in a blanket manner applied zoning even to many structures that are inconsistent with that particular zoning designation. And so in the pre-meeting, I kind of discussed this idea that that is signaling, in a sense, perhaps this idea that we should be preserving a particular development pattern. And it's staff's contention at this point that there are development priorities that perhaps have emerged that should cause us to look at the policies that we have adopted so that we are in a better position to hopefully resolve some of the challenges that are being presented to our region at the time. And so this is one opportunity to kind of look at the subject parcel and to say, we have an existing non-conforming residential structure, and this particular request would permit that particular parcel to continue its use as a multifamily structure and to be modified just slightly to add, even though the density actually says 30, we are talking about an increase from 9 units to a maximum of 6. And I'll even note that that is contingent upon the ability to meet all of the other development standards associated with the zoning district that's requested. So currently what you're seeing as configured is 18 dwelling units per acre, even though, again, this is a single family designation. And when you look at that on an acre basis, that's 4.35 dwelling units per acre, or 1 per 10,000. So as it's situated, you can see it is significantly more. And the petitioner is requesting to increase this to a maximum of 15 units, which would equate to that 30 dwelling units per acre that is requested. This is a conceptual rendering that staff was provided by the petitioner. It is not exactly accurate with regard to the full situation of the site, but it is helpful nonetheless in showing that the proposed expansion would occur right here. At this location, in the form of an addition that would join the two existing buildings that are already situated on the site, the JEA at the rear. There is also another multifamily structure that is right here. Adjoining this particular parcel, there is lane access, and it would be from this lane, I believe, that the petitioner intends to provide their parking. So, again, these are the existing buildings that the petitioner has taken into account, and the request essentially would add 6 units in the form of this corner addition. Just to kind of give you a context here, we are looking at an area that is in the middle of two different character areas. And so if you are familiar with this area, you know that there are a number of multifamily structures that are actually situated in what is single family zoning. And many of these have been there since the 60s and the 70s. That is the case with the present structure. And so you can see that we are leaving kind of the low density residential feel of this conservation district, and you're heading into what is more of a suburban commercial district. And so this kind of sits at the juncture of that transition, again, adjoining a multifamily use and adjoining an institutional use at its rear. I will also note, again, that future development is going to be contingent upon the site's ability to meet all of the associated development standards. And so that 30 dwelling units per acre represents an upward maximum, and this would still go through a site plan review. With that, MPC staff does recommend approval of the request to rezone the parcel from RSF-10 to RMF-2-30, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Yes, ma'am, Madam Chair. Once again, Josh Yellen here today on behalf of Abercorn Stay LLC, who has recently acquired the property and looks forward to going through with this rezoning and improving the site. With us from the developer, we have Pierre Ressler, who's happy to answer any questions as well. But we knew that it was important for him to be here because there might be questions to be answered. We would like to thank again Mr. Morrow and MPC staff for the recommendation of approval here. You've seen me come before you many times for large-scale multifamily developments. This is a missing middle multifamily development, and this type of project that I think we should all be encouraging across the city. This developer has found an existing non-conforming multifamily site. This site has 9 units. We believe it was purpose-built for 9 units in 1959. It has always been multifamily, and we are trying to continue its use as multifamily. We all know that there's a great need in the city for additional housing stock. This provides the ability to add it on a site that is already used for multifamily, and also to do it in a way that is as minimally invasive as possible. As Mr. Morrow mentioned, although the density says 30 units per acre, this is a half acre lot. The maximum number of units we would ever be permitted to put on site is 15. As also Mr. Morrow mentioned, that is fully contingent on site plan approval. We know that if we go and meet with the city of Savannah, if this rezoning is approved, if we go and meet with City of Savannah Engineering and traffic and staff, if there are concerns about site layout, if there's concerns about access, if there's concerns about parking, all of those are site plan related issues. The density could only come down from the maximum of 15 that we're requesting. So we came in with a reasonable missing middle request, and basically to fill in a site that is vacant. From looking at the development standards for the zoning district that we're going into, we would not need any other variances. There's still more than enough green space, more than enough open area and buffers on this site. And so we thought this was a great site to come in to provide some of this missing middle housing, as opposed to trying to take over a different site and put multifamily where it's not appropriate. We're trying to put additional units where there's already existing multifamily. And so we do thank staff for their recommendation of approval, and we would respectfully request that you approve of the same, but we are here to answer, any questions that y'all may have.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for the petitioner or for staff? All right, let's go back to folks who'd like to speak. Mr. Cushman, Bert Cushman. If you could come up and state your name for the record.
Yes, my name is Bert Cushman. I live at 1 East 67th, as well as Judge Ayala. And we have the complex from the JAA right behind us. And providing this complex would be 15 units or less, that could be okay, but 30 is too much. I mean, that's just too many people, you know, and the unit looks nice, what they're proposing, but the traffic as it is from what we're going to have from the JE coming down 67th is going to be unbelievable. So.
Understood. The size of the lot precludes 30 units. 15 units would be the maximum they could get with the zoning that they're requesting.
That could be okay. You know, and the unit looks nice, but I'm just concerned about the traffic. And if it was condos, I could be in favor of that. The rental thing, I'm opposed to that, but I have no control over that.
So, understood.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Conry, Joseph Conry.
Good afternoon. Joseph Conry. I live at 25 East 65th Street. I have a problem with them showing the older picture of the area. They have no new pictures of the new development around the area. They have no pictures of the current traffic problems we have in the area, let alone the flooding we have. Takes away the green space that we already got rid of. Just like to bring it to your attention that the traffic is just going to be horrendous. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. All right. Mr. Ayala. Please state your name for the record.
Juan Ayala. I live at 1 East 67th Street. I've lived there since 1996. And we are now having to deal with a decision that was made to put this monstrosity right behind our houses on the GEA property. It's an enormous building. It's going to talk about traffic. Talk about our way of life there. The buildings that are there now are appropriate for the neighborhood. They're attractive. They don't have too many people living there. There's not that much traffic there. The JEA is right behind it. They produce a great deal of traffic in themselves. And I do not agree that a building as big as the one that you just showed a picture of is appropriate for that neighborhood. There's single dwelling houses up and down that street. And to put another gigantic building on the same street in the same area is just an erosion of a way of life of people trying to live there. So I don't know how you approve the building behind my house, much less anything more. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions for him? All right, Mr. Thomas Burns.
My main concern is, will we see final drawings, the height, what the exact height is? Are they going to connect the buildings? How many people are going to be there? How many parking spaces are going to be available? Because if they can't get a parking space, they're going to be parking on East 67th Street and blocking everything up. So when do we get these answers?
Staff review, I think. Go ahead.
Okay. So, again, this is going to have to go through a complete site plan approval, which means that it will be checked before any permits are issued, that this is within the height limitations, that all of the off-street parking requirements are met. So at 15 units, you would have to have 15 off-street parking spaces. If you are not able to achieve 15 spaces, you could not have 15 units without a variance, which would either need to come before this board or the ZBA. The maximum height that would be permitted, I believe, is 36 feet within the RMF zoning district. So again, all of these specific issues regarding the development would be evaluated in the specific development plan process.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm sorry, and the public, because you ask about the design,
yeah.
Would not have the opportunity to look at the design unless you all ask for them to come back to at least share it with the public.
Okay, thank you.
What about options after we see the design?
We could certainly consider that in our motion to approve or
deny.
That we bring it back to the MPC, the site plan, back to our commission, and it will give you an opportunity to see the site plan. We could also ask the developer if they could meet with residents, and I see Mr. Yellen is shaking his head yes, that he'd be happy to meet with you.
30 East 67th Street, right across the street. All right, thank you.
And it would be better, if it's possible, Josh, to share that with the community before it goes to City Council, if possible.
Sorry.
Wait a minute. We got one more. Two more, actually. I have a David Siv. Okay, thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm David Siv. I'm over on 40 East 67th Street. And just a couple of questions on, has the MPC did a, like a parking and traffic study on that street before they make the approval?
No, we have not. That is something that would be taken care of with the city's review process.
And this is going to be upon the, if it goes well, they'll approve it.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the amount of traffic the city will allow to go up and down the street when they tally up the traffic flow? Do we know that number?
No, we do not. That would be something that the traffic engineers would look at.
And do we have anybody we could talk to, a traffic engineer?
I don't think we have anyone here present for traffic engineering, but we could certainly work with the developer and with you to try to get some of those questions answered.
Yeah. Okay. And I understand that, you know, having extra units is really good for the city and to kind of, you know, give the supply of the needs. But you already have one large complex down the street. Wouldn't that already cure that issue around that area?
I think there are issues all over the city, including that area. I think the one thing that there are issues all over the city.
Understand. Okay. And not by any chance that you could actually wait for about another 3 years after the complex down the street over if they populate, and because the traffic flow would change, mm-hmm, once that complex is ready to move in. Can we wait for another 2 to 3 years after that one's being, you know, moved in, and then see how the traffic flow, because if you do the study now, it's really not current because we don't have that real number to come in later on. So that do we know the timeline when that's ready to move in?
I don't think we do know the timeline for that, but I'm pretty sure that there was a traffic study done for that development. And when the city looks at it, they're going to take that traffic study that was done for that development into account when they do the review of these additional apartments.
Yeah. However, let's just say we do the study now for that street for this development, it won't, it's not updated. Can we revisit this 3 years from now to make that approval or considerations then?
I think what you're asking is that we put this off.
Yes.
Okay. I understand what you're asking.
It's not like I'm not opposing or anything. I know 6 units is not that big a development. However, it does impact all the traffic coming up and down as it is already.
Understood.
And having one parking space per unit may not be enough because each unit, you have most likely have two occupants. And chances are you're going to have more people who's going to be parking on the streets.
Understood. That's our zoning requirement, though, is to have one parking space.
Yeah, that's a minimum requirement to make this approval. However, it might need more than that.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for your time.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Where do you live near here?
Sir?
Near this development, where are you?
I'm across the street.
Okay.
I'm right across the street. And I already deal with a lot of traffic as it is. People from leaving and going to work. People will always take that 67 to go to the backside as it is. And when you have parking, it's just not very friendly for the neighborhood. Even though we were in our outer skirt, I always understand. However, that is going to be we'd like to have at least a buffer, you know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, I also have Sean Graves online. Mr. Graves, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Good afternoon. I do echo the sentiments of fellow neighbors. I actually reside at 15 East 67. Our concerns are similar. Impact on traffic, as how will the proposed multi-use developments affect the local traffic patterns? I'm sure there's going to be impact there. Additionally, yes, the allocation of one space per unit or 15 spaces, that's definitely not going to be sufficient because most times in most homes, you're going to have guests, whether it be guest parking, where those parking be assigned. We definitely don't want it to interfere with our quality of life. So another question would be, what are the steps that will be taken to ensure that the overdevelopment does not interfere with the ease of enjoyment and quality of life for current residents that have resided there for many years on that particular street or even the neighboring community? One other consideration is, yes, has there been any tax analysis? How will this development impact, you know, property taxes? I know there's problems with housing throughout, but I would hope that the board and the developer of this proposed unit take those into considerations. Additionally, infrastructure report support. What type of improvements, if this building will be approved, what type of improvements or expansions to the current local infrastructure are going to be planned to support any increased demand from these new developments? And as others stated, having a traffic pattern analysis, once the apartments that are on Bull Street are occupied, I believe that this proposed development should possibly be postponed or reconsidered. And I would definitely recommend that getting the community involved in these upcoming decisions. There's definitely land in other locations or areas in the city. It sounds like a small enhancement, but it definitely can create problems and issues that we don't need or would be favorable and will impact our quality of life and use.
Thank you, Ms. Are
my concerns.
I think Mr. Moore is going to try and address some of your questions.
To the best of my ability. So, again, occasionally you'll see me pull out my little soapbox and stand here and talk about the future. So we're talking about an increase of 6 units. We did have a conversation with traffic. They did not take issue with the increased traffic volume from this proposal. Again, it's 6 units, so it did not tilt kind of their threshold. It didn't go over their threshold to require additional studies. What I can say, though, is that these concerns are kind of raising things that point to a desire for more advanced, more thoughtful policies. So again, this is the ordinance that we have now. So occasionally when I start to talk about the future in terms of creating throttles for development, these are things that I would encourage this commission to consider, you know, adopting. Dare we go as far as, you know, adequate public facilities or concurrency requirements. I'm not quite sure we could get there in this environment, but those are the types of tools that you would want to adopt so that the types of considerations and metrics that were just listed become a part of our regular analysis when we're talking about evaluating a petition. This one in particular at 6 additional units did not fit any of those concerns. Anything that does not meet a current ordinance requirement, it will get a specific development plan review. Either way, it is, again, as our executive director pointed out, within the purview of this board to say, please bring that back before we send this forward.
Thank you. Sorry, we've had an opportunity. Mr. Yellen.
Yes, ma'am, Madam Chair, once again, Josh Yellen, and thanks, Mr. Morrow, for the rebuttal that I was going to give as well, that we are here for a rezoning only. We know that there are issues that could come up with the site plan. We know we have to go through that process. And pardon me for being rude when I was listening to the questions. Peter, the developer, was talking to some of the neighbors who are here, and you have our full commitment that once we are ready to present a site plan, we are happy to bring that to them first. This is the first step. This is the rezoning. The site plan could be some time away, but we are happy to bring that and have that discussion with neighbors and residents once it's ready. To the unit count, as was mentioned, the most number of units that could occupy this site is 15 units. It's an increase of 6. It could be less than that. It will not be more. In our estimation, this is one of the most ideal locations for multifamily housing in the city of Savannah. We are located on Alricorn Street. There is a bus stop in front of the JEA. Not that anyone would cross Duren on foot or on bicycle, but between Publix, Fresh Market, and the Red and White, there are 3 grocery stores within walking distance of this location. The bus that was mentioned, you have the JEA and the pool and the gym right next door. I can't think of a location in the city of Savannah that has more amenities in close proximity than this site. And so we believe it's the ideal location. Staff is recommending approval, and we would respectfully request that you recommend approval of the same. Thank you all.
Thank you. Any questions for staff or the petitioner? All right. Do I have an interest in making a motion?
Coles, I make the motion to approve staff's recommendation with the inclusion that the petitioner comes back before us with the site plan.
Ross, second.
All right. I have a motion and a second for approval. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Nochika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welsh?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody? Oh, I'm sorry. Mr. Wywoody's had to step out. I too say yes. The motion passes. And Mr. Yellen, you will meet with the citizens.
Okay, try and get their information now.
All right. Thank you. All right. Our next item is Master Plan Amendment for 1955 East Montgomery Cross Road.
Good afternoon, Madam Chairman, Commissioners. Here we go again, talking about PUDs. But I think we've all been through the primer. We understand and we got that good. And I feel like a broken record when I say, well, we're just talking about changing the color on a map. You've heard me say it many, many times. There we go. Here's where we are. We're at 1955 East Montgomery Crossroad. It's at the intersection with Truman. If this PUD actually had a corresponding map, it would all be the same color. It's all built out. So we are going to talk about color, but not on the map. This amendment is to amend the master plan for the Walmart Shopping Center, which was a planned development, to permit the redesign and renewal of existing signage. So we have talked about a couple of different things, development standards and design standards. This board generally, and for very good reason, does not review design standards. It's beyond our purview. If you think of things that would be in an HOA type arena or deed covenants, those types of things we don't enforce, we don't dabble in. That's up to the people who choose to live there. And the reason for that is because we don't have a good yardstick to determine what is better and what is not, and so we don't involve ourselves. But when it comes to infrastructure and traffic and size and scale and use and function of a site, these are things we can break down and apply meaningful metrics as it relates to that development. Here's the overhead. There was an initial master plan done prior to 2001, and it included what is the Walmart to the west parcel, the largest parcel, and four other outlying tracts. Then there was an amendment, and it's listed in the staff report. I'm not going to read it out because my eyes aren't that good. But if you've gotten good at decrypting our staff report numbers, you'll see that it was actually amended August 28th of 2002. That's because the original master plan that we'll get there, I'm building suspense, established what we are going to talk about was amended, and it reduced the number of those out parcel tracts. And that was the only aspect of that original plan that changed. The proposed amendment, and the reason that it has to be, is because it was developed in the development standards section of that PUD, is here, is because they put it there, and to deal with it, this is the only way by which they may dispose of it. What they're asking to do, here we go. And as it relates, I use the language as it relates to updating signage. The actual signage in terms of size, function, character, placement, the things that we've heard before as it relates to other variances, is not impacted by this amendment. And at this point, you have to be asking, what on earth are we trying to do? This is the site plan for the existing Walmart. Look quickly. I'll go back. I'll go forward. We are changing the color. We are amending the plan to allow for the copyrighted Walmart blue to update this store with the other stores in the area. There is a plan for the Walmarts across Chatham, Savannah to update the look and feel of their stores, and they wanted to do this one. This is the only one that is controlled by a PUD or master development. And by all evidence, it's only because there was control of the number of tracks related to that parcel. How this stuff got in here, the design standard stuff that we don't mess with, I wasn't there. As a result, staff recommends approval of the amended master plan to include Walmart blue with no conditions. Pending your questions.
All right. Is the applicant here? No applicant?
The applicant is in Oklahoma. We would like to have been here, but I don't think they could justify it.
Probably the weather has been hindering them a bit, too. All right. Do I have any comments for staff? Any motion?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Excuse me.
Yeah, oh, I guess I should.
We'll have someone online who wants to speak.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, the name is Sunday Boger.
Sunday.
Yeah.
He's the applicant.
Hi, my name is. Yes, I am the applicant.
Well, good afternoon. Do you have anything you'd like to add?
No, other than the Walmart is looking forward to updating the store to enhance everybody's customer buying experience. And like, I'm here to answer any questions. And also I want to thank Ed Morrow and Brad Clements for all their help through this process.
All right, thank you. Are there any questions for the applicant? All right, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
All right. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Nochika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. Go for the blue. Walmart blue. All right. One last item on our regular agenda. The subdivision with variances within RSF5 zoning of 1603 Richard Street and 204 Sugden Street.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the board, Edward Morrow again. This is probably the most interesting thing you'll see all day. This is an interesting subdivision that was created some time ago that we could not find a record of. And so what you're seeing is actually a screenshot from Sages as this presently exists. You are looking at two structures that ordinarily would probably be on one parcel without this line, but at some point someone drew a line here. And in essence, you are being asked today to adjust those lines so that these two structures will occupy their own parcels. So, you can see what I'm told is an older street view of the two structures that exist on these parcels at present. This one with my mouse point being... You can't see that. The one-story structure being the principal, and the garage that's kind of to the left being the second accessory that kind of evolved into its own secondary principal. And so, again, the majority of the footprint of both structures exist on one parcel now, and this is a request to establish each on its own lot. The lots that would be created, the first one is 3,554 square feet, and the structure that occupies it would be non-conforming with regard to its front and rear setbacks. The second parcel, would retain that 1603 Richards, would ultimately be 1,643 square feet, which also is non-conforming. And the structure that sits on it would be non-conforming with regard to front, rear, and one side setback. The structure is also going to occupy in excess of the 40% maximum lot coverage that is permitted within the zoning district. This is a view of the preliminary plat that has been submitted for your review. And so you can see the new property lines here that would place each one on its own parcel. And ultimately, because this represents the improvement of an existing non-conforming circumstance, staff does recommend approval. The existing structures have been within this same configuration since at least 1970. And so that demonstrates the parcel's ability to accommodate these uses. I'm happy to answer any questions.
All right, thank you. Is the applicant here? You'll state your name for the record, please.
Yes, ma'am. My name is Michael Fell with Coleman Company. And if you all have any questions, I do know the original subdivision plat of this area, that lot configuration that was the first slide, that's where it came from. And so that's, you know, the first structure was built in the 1950s, and the rear structure was built in the 70s. So they've been in existence this long.
For a long time.
And the second structure has had recent renovations done on it. I have a picture of it if y'all would like to see it.
Unless there's anyone who's interested, I think we're fine.
Okay.
All right. Any questions for the applicant or staff? Okay, go ahead, Mr. Cole.
Just a quick question. Since the second property, from what I can gather, has been sold recently to a new owner, is the plumbing tied, is the sewage tied together for the two parcels? And if so, does the new owner of that property realize that it's tied together?
Ms. Coles, at this time, I cannot give you that answer. We did not do, you know, a study of the laterals. It's serviced by the city of Savannah. And maybe, you know, we just assumed that it was, but I can definitely find that out.
Just as in my day job, a realtor, I think it'd be good for the owner of that property to know whether they have to go through the adjacent property for sewage issues.
Yes. I mean, that's something we can definitely find out.
All right. Any other questions? All right. I have your card here, Mr. Fell. I also have two other cards. David. Yes. Would you like to speak? Okay. And Jeff.
And I'm just here as attorney for the owner of 1603 Richards to send to the approval.
All right. Any discussion?
Excuse me, ma'am. Oh, I do hear someone again online. They want to speak.
Okay.
The name is Kelton Kane.
Ms. Kane? Mr. Kane?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead. Could you say your name for the record, please?
My name is Kelton King, and I'm the owner of 1603 Richard Street. Forgive me for being online. I'm actually deployed to Iraq right now, so it's a little bit past my bedtime. But just want this. Thank you all for the support. And I just wanted to mention, yes, the plumbing is currently routed under the neighboring property and have been trying to work that out because it's been the issue pretty much since I moved into the house in February.
All right. Thank you.
I do have one more now. The name is Barry Jackson.
Mary Jackson?
Barry Jackson.
Barry Jackson. All right, Mr. Jackson.
Disregard. I'm here for Kelton Kane.
Please state your name for the record.
Barry Jackson. I'm the uncle of Kelton Kane. I wasn't sure if he was going to be able to respond.
He has been online with us. Yes, he's been talking to us past his bedtime.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, thank you so much.
All right, thank you. Any other questions, any comments? Do I have a motion?
Cole's motion to approve staff's recommendation.
Ross, second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve staff recommendation. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Mr. Welch?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. Point of clarification. Since we had a gentleman and someone else talk about the plumbing, did you want the folks from the Coleman company to let us know what's going on with that or how are you planning on addressing that?
I think that they did say that.
They're aware.
Mr. Kane said that he knew that it went underneath the house.
Okay. I just didn't know if you wanted to hear back from them or not. If you wanted us to report back to you, that's all.
I don't think there's anything to do with
it. No. Thank you. All right. So we are done with regular business. It says we have no presentations, that we have other business, which is a core MPO presentation. And as I've been involved in the MPO, I am excited to hear her speak. I know what she's going to say, and you guys need to hear it.
Okay. Hi, Melanie Wilson, Executive Director and CEO of the Metropolitan Planning Commission and the MPO. I wanted to take this opportunity to start this public outreach process to talk about moving forward together, which is our Metropolitan Transportation Plan. One of the two things that we have to do in order to get funding is to have a plan that we update every 5 years and to go through recertification every 5 years. We will go through the recertification starting in October, and we have started this planning process, and that will continue until August. And for those of you that don't know, I'm trying to make sure I've got this slide, which is a little jiggy. Can you help me with rolling that down? Thank you. Yeah, zoom out will be easier. But while we're doing this, just to let the folks know that don't know that's listening to this or looking at this, the Metropolitan Planning Organization is a policy board. It's an organization that is created and designated to carry out the Metropolitan Transportation Planning Process. They're required to represent localities located in all the urbanized areas, and that includes areas in adjacent counties. For example, the southern part of Bryan County is located in Savannah's urbanized area. Parts of Effingham is located in an urbanized area. So all of those elected officials are part of the Metropolitan Planning Organization. Those urbanized areas end up being able to get additional funding opportunities because of the size. We're over 50,000 people within the MPO, so that makes us an urbanized area, and it allows us to get additional opportunities for funding. In order to do that, we have to participate with the Federal Transportation Planning Process. They use what is called a 3C process, and that is comprehensive, cooperative, and continuing, and that's known as the 3C process. Again, it's made up of local elected officials as well as their designees. One of the things also that we will be doing is making sure that we continue to involve the folks in the community, that we involve the staffs of the localities as well. They participate in this process, and they basically create what is called a technical coordinating committee. That committee reviews all the transportation planning projects and applications that come in, and they make recommendations to the policy board. So this is kind of like a triangle process where you start out with the policy committee, then you've got the TCC that looks at the projects that come in. You've got a citizens advisory committee that is appointed by the policy committee, and they look at the projects as well. So it's a tiered system that makes recommendations up to the policy or the MPO board, who makes the final decisions on what happens as we go through that process. The planning documents that we end up creating, or before I get to that, let me talk about the transportation plan. The transportation plan, again, is a long-range transportation plan. We generally look out 20 years plus, and we update it every 5 years. So that ensures that we're staying current with regards to what the priorities are based on what we hear from the communities and based on what's going on in development. I'm having some issues with this. I'm just going to talk a little bit, and I'm going to let Asia go back through this slide. I don't know why this is jumping. It's very jumpy for some reason. But the documents that we end up creating basically is the MTP, which is the Metropolitan Transportation Plan. That's the long-range planning document. We do a transportation improvement plan, and that is the document that is used to implement the long-range transportation planning document. And it's also where you start talking about the financing, how to pay for it. We also do a congestion management process, and that's where we look at what's going on with traffic activity and things of that nature, not only for the road network, but we also look at it with regards to other highways, byways, and trailways. So we look at all of it as part of those processes. And we have a public participation plan that we have to complete and implement as we go through this that deals with everything from working with the title Title V or Title VI communities, as well as other communities that might have a need and an interest with regards to not having access to transportation, not having good access to getting information. We go the extra mile We have all of our documents printed in Spanish and in other languages to make sure that people have the opportunity to participate. And it also includes a bicycle and pedestrian plan. So we've got a very detailed plan. Those are our forms of transportation. The Truman Trail that you hear a lot about, that is one of the projects that started out with the NPO years ago and that we have supported working with the City of Savannah and Chatham County to have that move forward. Again, all of this represents all of our priorities and represents our planning partnership. Let's see if I can get this moving now. The other thing, too, that is part of this is that as a blueprint for the regional transportation, we also look at freight, and I think a lot of people don't really think about that, but we just completed a freight transportation plan update with GDOT and our other partners. Transit, we work a lot with CAT, with Master Transportation Plan, a transit development plan, and again, the bike and ped improvements. And let's see if I can get this. Where I wanted to be. Yeah, this is where I wanted to be. One of the things I wanted to make sure that I showed is that right now, as part of this update, we expanded our region. We deal with updating our core boundaries during the census. And because we had a lot of growth in our adjacent counties, the boundaries expanded. For example, Effingham County grew. We've got Rincon and Springfield and others that are now part of the NPO. Bryan County grew a lot. They opted to not participate. However, because the southern portion is part of the urbanized area, they have to participate. So that's why you see the map. It's a little tad wonky. But this is the area that basically they had to decide to participate in. For those of you that are curious about where the Hyundai plant is located, I will tell you that that is located up in this area right here, right in this area. That is outside of the new NPO boundaries because, again, as I said, they opted out of participating. Again, these are the voting seats. And the other thing that we do as part of this update is we look at our bylaws. So we're in the process of updating our bylaws because the number of seats have changed. And what you see here reflects what the proposed seating arrangement is going to be. It also reflects what dues are paid by each one of the jurisdictions. They pay to help offset some of our costs with regards to implementing this program. And again, when you ask what is the transportation plan, it really is the long-range blueprint. And it's something that's also looked at and used as a guide for looking at some of the SPLASH projects. When you talk about road improvements and things of that nature, they use that as a guiding document. I think a good way to look at this is, as we move forward, we do kind of act as the federal government's arm as far as transportation planning is concerned. They participate in our review process along with the state DOT. So they are a partner going through this whole process. I am available to answer any questions that you might have. I want to encourage the public to look at our website. We've got this presentation as well as other detailed information on our website that goes into detail about what we're doing as we move forward. We are hoping to have this adopted in August of 2024. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Asia, who is a transportation planner, and she's going to go into a little bit more detail about some of the projects that we've got and that have been scored by the TCC. And before she gets up here, I do want to say that one of the things that happened, and I think there's some confusion, is the model. You know, each time we do this, the model changes. We use the state DOT's model, and we also look at what the federal model is like because they kind of use that as well. And one of the things in the new elements in the model is that they added equity and they added resiliency. Well, that basically impacted a lot of scoring with regards to the projects that we had. And we had over 200 projects that were submitted by all the jurisdictions that we needed to review and score. So the technical committee which is a group of employees of all of the partners that we have participate in that effort and review all of these documents. During this public outreach process, we will get feedback from everybody. We will look at the scoring sheets for all of those projects, and they will get rescored one more time. So I just wanted to be on record and be very clear about that process and how it works and what the model is that we have used with regards to moving forward with those projects. And with that, I will turn it over to Asia, who has done a great job working with us on this. And I want to also thank Wakota Wang. She's finally taken a much needed vacation. She has worked just an incredible amount of time to make sure that we've got the models running, that we stay on task. She is my right-hand person for dealing with transportation, and it's just amazing. So I just want to publicly thank her for her service and her dedication to the MPC and to the MPO as we move forward. Asia.
Okay, good afternoon, everyone. I will just be going into the specific projects and project list for the 2050 MTP. Again, my name is Asia Herrington, and I'm a transportation planner with the Core MPO. And I'm excited to talk about this plan because this plan is a big deal in terms of the future direction of the area and then also financial investments. And that's because within this plan, the financial investments are estimated to be $1.8 billion or almost $1.9 billion, which is a lot of money. So it's a big deal. So in terms of the background of creating this plan, it's been an ongoing process, a two-year process. So we're now finally coming to the end of that two-year process. And so through and taking data on existing conditions such as congestion data, safety data, crash data, freight data, and then also speaking with stakeholders such as our boards like our TCC or our Core MPO board as discussed earlier, and then also speaking with the community, we finally came up with a draft plan and a draft list of projects. And so now we are in our final stage of this plan process and also our final stage of public involvement. So this is the final opportunity to have your input within this plan. So our first round of public involvement started in fall of 2022, and that was where we really kicked off our survey and refining our goals and objectives. And then we continued that through 2023, and now in summer of 2024, we're coming to a close on that. And so now the focus of our public outreach is that draft plan, reviewing that draft plan, and then reviewing that project list that I will discuss in the next few slides. And this is just the development schedule showing the work that we've been doing over the last couple of years on this process. So August 2024 is the projected adoption date, specifically August 7th with the Core MPO board meeting. Moving into the projects and investments, so this table is a lot, but we felt it was maybe the best way to show all of the information and some of the financial revenues associated with this plan. So again, the estimated total investments for the Metropolitan Transportation Plan is $1.89 billion. And that $1.89 billion will be spent over a 25-year period. In this table, you see it is split into different cost bands, with the first one being 2025 to 2030, and then 2033 to 2041, and then 2042 to 2050. So they're about 6 to 7 year cost bands. Additionally, this table shows the funding by category. So the largest category by far is spending on highway projects, but we also have money that we're putting towards operational improvements, non-motorized projects such as bike and pedestrian projects, and then also transit projects such as capital improvements. And so we really want this plan to be multimodal, which is why we did heavier consideration and a larger set aside toward these non-motorized projects and these and also transit projects as well. So moving on to the actual project list, which is kind of the focus of this final phase of development within this plan. So this is a map of the widenings and new roadways within this plan, and then also the bridges, interchanges, and overpass projects within the 2050 plan. And then we also have it listed to the side to for your review. We also have it listed throughout the slides as well, just to read it in a little bit more detail, and we have it split by the projects within Chatham County, Effingham County, projects that received grants, and then we have the project split between those that are longer term and then those that are more near term. But essentially, what I really want to get across is that what we need from the community and also the MPC board is input on these projects. So we want to know, are these your priorities? Do you feel like these are addressing the transportation issues within your area? Do you feel like something is missing that should be added? And the reason for that is because these projects are prioritized and they are ranked. And so part of that ranking is in looking into local priority. So if it is a local priority, according to the community, according to the input that we receive, it will receive a higher ranking and a higher prioritization score. So what we want to hear from the community and from the board is just what they feel about the projects that we have listed and prioritized within the plan. And you should have a brochure by your computer. So you can see it, yes, yes. And it has that same project list that you see listed here on the slide. And we are accepting comments until July 30th. So after July 30th passes and we get all of our input, we will take the next few days to adjust the plan based on that input. And then August 7th is when we present it in front of the Core MPO board. And that's when we hope that it is adopted. But we would like to hear everyone's input, and also we really would love if everyone could share this plan, share the website, share these projects to whoever you can speak to, because we need a lot of community input, and we have gotten a lot of great community input, but we know more is better. So that's why we do want everyone to share this as far as they can as we come to the end of this process. Now, in terms of actually sharing, I will show some of our contact information. So this is our website, and on our website, that's where you will find our draft plan. Additionally, in terms of submitting comments, the best way to submit comments is to our email, the mtp2050@thempc.org. So take time, review the plan, really assess if this is something that is helpful and important to the community, or if maybe there are some conversations or projects that may have been missing from this, and then we will review that and adjust the plan based on that. And then I'll also just go into the actual website that we recently redesigned a bit, thanks to Hind, and he did an awesome job on that. And at the very top of that page is the draft Metropolitan Transportation Plan, which also has some of that same information that you have in that brochure. But this is the plan in its entirety. So you can review the content, the projects, everything, and then let us know. And then we will include your input into the final product. Are there any questions?
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Anything else?
And anybody that wants a copy of the capital improvements, I still have a couple extra if you want to take some with you, the details.
I have a question.
Yes.
So I'm looking at this, and I'm just trying to think about areas where I know the roads aren't adequate for today's traffic. And one of them is Little Neck Road.
Yes.
And it's labeled as number 6, and that is a 2050 project. Yeah. How, and that's saying interchanges, bridges, and overpasses, but it's not talking about widenings and new roadways. How is that, especially with the growth out there, how is that not part of this?
So in terms, I can't answer that off of the top of my head, but I can go back to the director of the Transportation Administration Department, which is Wycota Wong, and then also the staff that worked specifically on looking at congestion and our congestion management process, and we should have a more complete answer to give to you.
I would like that, and also Quaco Road.
that and Quacko Road. And we can also, if you could give me your contact information, we can email you directly with your questions.
And the other thing too, Tracy, is that some of this information, again, came from the model. So if the model that DOT is using is showing that the level of service of the road at that time is less than what it actually is now, that model has to be updated.
The DOT didn't know if the developments that we were putting out there.
Well, the DOT basically, you know, they adjust the, we basically send information to the state, and Asia does a great job of collecting that information, I think once or twice a year. And they look at that and, you know, but just because something got approved does not mean that a permit or anything else has been pulled for it, nor that it's going to be developed in a year or so. So they kind of go and they do hit or miss checks, but they get better information when somebody has required a traffic study. When that happens, the city works with DOT and they go into more detail with regards to providing that information to them. So,
Ms. Wilson?
Yeah, so the DOT just did an open house for that interchange, the 16 Little Neck interchange last week. And actually, the traffic study that they did that gave the LOS for that area was done in, I believe, 21. And that is that information was collected before the Quick Trip truck stop came online in 23. The LOS traffic study done for a housing development in that area, bringing online 470 homes. The traffic study said that the LOS for that intersection of John Carter and Little Neck, the LOS was an F. And that traffic study was before the Quick Trip and said any more developments in that area would further deteriorate the LOS. So I would be curious to know what that community out there could do to kind of mitigate the problem and the dangers at that intersection until the diverging diamond and the roundabout that's going in there that's supposed to be done completed in 30. You know, what about is there anything that the board could do for a temporary traffic light? Until
that is honestly, when you start getting into that level of detail, again, we're dealing with it at a higher level. That would be something that I can't believe I'm using my hands going up. Sorry. That would be something that the engineering department would recommend at the time of development review. You know, earlier Edward talked about going through site plan review. Well, there's a whole group of departments that get together and they look at all of the development projects. So if there's something that's going in that's going to create an adverse impact, then that's when engineering weighs in and they either say you need to make some improvements, even if they're temporary improvements until this goes in. But that is something that has to occur on either the city side or the county side with regards to their engineering and development services folks.
And when you're saying the city side, because that's in the Bloomingdale jurisdiction, you're meaning the city of
The city of Bloomingdale. Then anybody, you know, because although we plan really, if you look at it from a transportation standpoint regionally, each one of the jurisdictions plan kind of in a more detailed area, and it is up to them to implement where they feel appropriate. Conditions to basically smooth out challenges that they feel that they may have. And, you know, if there's something that needs to be moved up on the list, they can always reach out and say, hey, can we talk with the folks at DOT or talk with whomever, depending on what type of road it is, and see about getting that moved up on the list so that we can get this taken care of. But that is something that the community has to, or that the town has to say something about. That's not something that we would just initiate on our own because, you know, the region is pretty big. We wouldn't know until somebody did something or said something.
Great. Say something about it where? Like on the survey?
No, I'm just saying that, for example, you talked about if what you've talked about is located in the town of Bloomingdale, or then it would be up to Bloomingdale to raise the issue when they are going through doing their site plan review, because we don't do their site plan reviews. They don't participate in the site plan review process. That is, they're an independent, you know, town. They do their own. So if they were to contact the NPO and say, hey, we've got this, you know, they could ask, because some jurisdictions don't know. They don't look at the tip that closely. Where are we at with this? How long will it take? Then they can make some decisions about how they want to move forward with handling it. Some jurisdictions say we need to slow down some development because the road capacity is not sufficient to handle it. That's a choice that they get a chance to make. And some communities say, well, you know, we're going to go ahead and allow it, and we will talk with the developer and see if they want to help pay for some of these improvements because they are creating the impact. Different jurisdictions handle it differently. It depends on what the policy is that's in place for that particular jurisdiction.
I just wanted to add that if you're interested in like public comment on traffic and studies, especially near Little Neck Road right now, Chatham County has their State Route 25 US 17 corridor study. On the screen here is the presentation for the status update at the June 26th Core MPO Policy Board meeting. And so they are getting into the public participation opportunities soon. And so we can send this. This is also on that agenda meeting. And so anyone who is interested, you can see here, this is the corridor that would like to be involved. They have their contact information. And again, that's a study being directed by Chatham County right now through Kimberly Horn. So I think their contact information, here we go, is on the bottom. So I would encourage you to direct any citizens, especially at the Little Neck Road area, to this public participation opportunity to better understand the traffic concerns. Thank you.
All right, anything else? Got a motion to adjourn?
Calls motion to adjourn.
Okay. Close enough.